B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I know I was on record about a month ago saying, hey, you know what? It's time to break Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum up. But I'm glad I ruffled them feathers, because since then, they had a sit down and a meeting together. Since then, you see a different type of chemistry. And since then, guys all of a sudden know their roles. We already know what type of player Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown is. We know what they're going to bring to the table. Jason Tatum, one of the most prolific scorers in the game today. Jaylen Brown, one of the better two-way players in the game today. But when you look at Marcus Smart, Marcus Smart has actually become the point guard, the facilitator. He's taking less shots, and he's making the offense run. But at the end of the day, the Celtics have identity, and I think the way that the East is so wide open and the way that guys are moving around, Brooklyn is struggling and all this, the Celtics, if Jason Tatum could be the Jason Tatum that we saw on Sunday afternoon and put his head down and be aggressive and play angry and play with passion, then absolutely it's wide open, and the Celtics don't have a ceiling.
No ceiling. Sky's the limit, in other words. Kendrick Perkins on ESPN yesterday. Website 538 would concur. The analytics there at 538, Nate Silver's site, say the Celtics have the best odds in the NBA by far to win the championship, 23%. The Bucks and Phoenix are at 17%. So the nerds have the Celtics as a favorite. Kendrick Perkins, who's been very critical of the team over the last year plus, as he should have been, says sky's the limit for them. And I don't necessarily disagree. I mean, I don't think they're a championship favorite, but I think they're to be taken seriously for sure. And I've always felt that way. I felt they've been a contender, should have been a contender for the last two, three, 4 years. And I think that's what has made them such a compelling story, is that they've underachieved so grossly. What was wrong? Why couldn't they? Well, I mean, what took them so long? It's finally, it feels like they've locked in, figured out their roles, figured out the right way to play, and they finally got into this spot after floundering for almost 2 years. It's like, what took you so long? And the fact that they underachieved so badly, I think it was a big story. But now that they've figured it out, I feel like it's a big story, because I think they're a serious player in this thing, man.
They are. Look, there's no way to, again, and the wins and losses are one thing, and the average margin of victory over this stretch of 20 games, where they're 16-4 that you've talked about, and even more recently, their average margin of victory is like 14.5 points. Mike, in the NBA, that is astronomical. That's astronomical. So just to give you an idea, okay, the leader in point differential for the season in the NBA is Phoenix. It's 8 points. Wow. The Celtics have doubled that. Okay, they've doubled that. So they're annihilating people right now. And to me, but beyond all the numbers, it's the way they play. They're playing together. This was the big criticism of them really all year. When we talked about them early in the year, why aren't the Celtics as good as they should be? Because they don't play together. How many times did we say it? Over and over and over again. They don't play together. They don't help each other out. They're selfish on offense. They don't want to win. They're all interested in getting their points. The worst kind of team, particularly in that league, because you can never win doing it that way. I'm sorry. But they're figuring it out. So, and the other thing is, it never happens this way. It never happens where, like, you know, you're spinning your tires, and then all of a sudden you figure it out and you rip off 16 out of 20, and it feels like it's there permanently. Usually there's like they're starting to get it, you know.
There's waves.
Absolutely. Yeah. This thing just, like, was the flip of a switch.
So we're trying to piece together the turning point. What happened?
Good question.
So Perk says it there. He says, I'm glad I called him out. Called for Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown to be broken up. I got their attention. And he may not be wrong. I mean, or a piece to it. The turning point, again, according to Stu, was a heart-to-heart talk that Brown and Tatum had after they lost to the Knicks on January 6th. This was the second of two hellacious losses in New York. The first was opening night. This one, they were up 16 points at half, up 20 at some point, I think, at the Garden, at Madison Square Garden, and lost to the Knicks. One of these games where Fournier went off. And since then, Brown and Tatum apparently had a heart-to-heart talk, which they both spoke publicly about wanting to be here, wanting to stay here, wanting to be together, wanting to make it work here. They had that talk, and since then, they're 16-4, as you just mentioned. 16-4, they ripped off 16 of 20 and looked like a different team. And we also wonder if there was an Udoka piece in there where Stu has been led to believe that Udoka's job security was not so great in the first half of the season or the first couple months of the year. And so it was there something in there where between Brown and Tatum coming to Jesus, coming together, really, some sort of ultimatum internally, which was somewhere along the lines of, if you guys don't prove you can play together, you're not going to play together. We're going to blow the thing up. We're going to ship some of you out of here. Marcus, he's involved in this too. Or we're going to have to fire your coach again. Or, as was pointed out by a caller, but I think it is an interesting scenario to consider. Hey, guys, if you're not going to play for the new coach who you wanted, we're just going to give the old coach again. And old G. Willikers is going to come down from the front office. And the guy that you wanted out of here is going to be back in your face. So if you want, you wanted this coach. This was your guy. Play for him, and you get to keep him. If you're going to play like this, we're not going to keep him, and you're stuck with me again. So, who knows what happened behind closed doors, but it has been like a switch was flipped.
Unbelievable. Really unbelievable. So I'm mystified. I'm curious, too, as to what the trigger was. I want to know. I would love to know. But I think it had to be something. I don't think it was just, they matured, they figured it out. I don't think it was that. I think there was some sort of ultimatum or scenario laid out in front of them.
Well, they got goosed.
Yeah.
Yes. Combination of things. I think the chirping on social media from someone like Kendrick Perkins finally got to them. And I'm convinced Marcus Smart was really going to be traded. The change in Marcus Smart specifically was, look, you're going to be gone. Utah, Dallas, there's real interest. We're going to ship you off unless you go back to playing the way that you used to play.
Marcus Smart's where it started.
Yeah, he's the linchpin of the whole thing.
He was, and it wasn't. I know it's easy to say when he called everybody out about sharing the ball. That's not where it happened.
No, because they played lousy for half the season.
They still sucked after that. No. It was sometime early in the new year when there were real calls. You know, Kendrick Perkins breaking these guys up. Udoka's job secure. Another Knicks loss. It was somewhere in there, and it started with Smart. He was the first guy that really turned around.
Yeah, I think he was the catalyst to the whole thing. I think he took it to heart. He went through a long stretch there where he was basically averaging 7 shots and 7 assists a game. Now, it's gotten a little out of whack of late because some of the shot totals have gone up again in the last few games. But overall, he stopped shooting and started passing and doing the things he's good at.
And I think Tatum followed behind him.
Yes.
I think Tatum started playing more team ball.
Even Brown.
And now everything's clicking. It is remarkable. And I think the best news of all for Celtics fans and the Celtics is that they wanted to make it work. Because as I tried to say earlier, I couldn't have guaranteed that they did want to make it work. In other words, if there was some sort of ultimatum that first week in January, we're going to split you guys up. We're going to ship you out of here. We're going to fire your coach if you don't pull it together because it's proving it's not working. Part of me would have been led to believe that Brown and Tatum would have said, go ahead. Trade me. I don't want to be here anyway. I don't care about this place. I don't care about this coach. I didn't care about the last coach. You want to fire the coach? Fine. You want to trade me? Fine. I just want my double-double and the all-star nod. And so go do what you're going to do. And it would not have surprised me if they just kept playing the way they were playing, because at the end of the day, they're not invested here. They don't care about being lifelong Celtics or winning with the Celtics. That's not the way a modern young NBA player thinks about any team, never mind this one. So it's like, part of me believes that if they were given an ultimatum, they still would have said, yeah, go ahead. I don't give a crap. I got my potato chip endorsement. That's all I care about.
Mike, there was no indication that they put any sort of premium on winning.
But apparently, they do.
Yeah, well, so that's the other thing,
too. But apparently, they do want to be here. Apparently, they do want to be together. Apparently, they do want to play under this coach. And so, that to me is the best news. I would have looked at that cynically. I wouldn't have known which way that would have gone. Turns out, they do want to play for Udoka, and they do want to make it work here.
Yeah, somebody got through to them. Udoka had to be part of it. Somehow, some way, he had to be part of it. I go back to what I told you at the time, the comments he made about the All-Star game and who he was going to vote for, and I put a premium on winning, is what he said.
Yeah.
Right? I put a premium on winning, so I'm going to vote for the guys who are on winning teams.
So I thought the injury replacements were Adam Silver's call. Do the coaches make a joint? Because it's interesting.
No, it's Adam Silver's call.
So there was one more injury replacement here. It went to Jarrett Allen with Cleveland
right
over Jaylen Brown in Boston.
Cleveland is three games ahead of Boston, correct, or whatever it is. They've had a better first half. So does the league prioritize a guy on a winning team?
But I think that's the right way to do it.
Absolutely.
Like, it's being played in Cleveland. That's why it happened.
Right, but maybe you're right.
But you would look at, well, so right, there's that element too. But I do think that generally speaking, all things being equal, you would say, well, they're having a better year. It's close. So I go for the guy on the winning team. And look, if Udoka hit them over the head with it, good. If he didn't, he should have. You guys want to play in the All-Star game? Fine. You know the one way to get there? That's fine that you want to play in the All-Star game. You know how you get there? You win. You win. When you win, you get on national TV. Everybody starts talking about you, and then they say, ooh, this guy's good. That's how it happens.
So they've always had the talent on paper, as far as I'm concerned. Brown, Tatum, two top NBA players, all NBA kind of players. And Marcus Smart, if he's just doing what he should do and playing his role, is the Draymond Green figure in that. And they do have the pieces, the roster, the top of the roster to be that kind of team. The only question was mindset and how they played. And so now they're playing with the right mindset and playing the right way. So here you go. This is what you get, which means they're a factor in this thing.
They're fun to watch.
So give us a good spring. Let's see if they can keep it going. I've always said I want to see what it's like after the All-Star break. You got one game to go against a lamb. So we'll see what it looks like coming out of the All-Star break. Now Marcus Smart knows he's not going to be traded. Now these guys know they're in the All-Star game or out. Let's just see if they can keep it going after the break. But I have reason to believe that they will. And you're going to have a real interesting spring here when it comes to the Celtics.
They get Detroit tonight, right?
Yes.
Yeah, 10 wins in a row.
After all this love we've given them?
No shot.
They are due for an ass.
No, they're not. All right, so back to your call. There's your Celtics reset. Your thoughts right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. They love each other.
That's a lie. It's bullcrap.
And the audience loves them.
I'm definitely grumpy. I don't care. Well, listen, guess what? You're in New England.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Up.
And that's the one thing, you watch Boston play, and you can literally see the improvement of their ball move. You know, the old Boston is more ISOs. This Boston is driving and playing with each other, and that's what makes them so much tougher. I think it makes Tatum and Brown even tougher when they move the ball like that.
You did mention the ball move for them. They've obviously been playing great for a while. Do they noticeably look like a different team from that standpoint now?
Yeah, I don't know if they look like a different team, but yeah, they do move the ball. They play together. You know, you can see it. You know, it looks like they communicate a lot. I remember early in the year, I think Smart went off about it, and looks like they made that change.
All right, even Sixers coach Doc Rivers can see it. Back to your phones, as promised, everything being on the table. Wayne in Yarmouth on the Celtics. Go ahead, Wayne.
Yeah, Doc, but he should know that Smart has shut up, and he's seemingly focused on his own game now and doing pretty well. But I wonder, guys, you know, we've always been quick to discount Stevens, but maybe in his new job he's having some behind-the-scenes influence, particularly with Udoka, and this might be having a change effect on the overall team. I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
Who knows? I did like the conspiracy theory that Stevens threatened the players with, I'm going to come back and coach you if you don't get your act together.
You want me again, you sons of bitches?
I sort of like that. That one makes me laugh.
Whatever works.
Whatever works.
I think he stayed away. You know, it doesn't feel like he's like meddling or, you know, he's pulling Udoka up and like, I want to show you something on the whiteboard. This is what we should be doing.
But I'll tell you, well, so you know what, Murray? If that part of it is going on, like, let's just say Steven says, hey, try this, or if let's say they have a good relationship where they can communicate. I don't mind Stevens giving his two cents on X's and O's. If Udoka's the better guy to deliver the message to the players, whatever works.
Right.
Whatever works. If they'll listen to Udoka and he needs some help on, and I'm not saying he does, I'm just saying that I think Udoka now has buy-in. I think that they clearly have bought in.
Defensively, for sure.
Here's Mary in Manchester on our craft conversation. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Hi, Mike. Hi, guys. So I think this Brady Belichick Kraft era is cringeworthy. I mean, I give him all the credit in the world for bringing Belichick here and also for keeping the band together for 20 years, because I think that's very hard to do, and I think that might actually be his crowning achievement. But my feeling is that Kraft really loves the star power. He really loves the star power that Brady and Belichick have given him all these years, and he wants to be recognized and associated with them. I even think that he loved it when Brady married Giselle, because that just brought even more recognition and star power to the team. So, you know, that's just my feeling. I don't know where it stems from, but I find it a little unbecoming for someone of his stature.
Oh, it's way unbecoming. Definitely. And it's not the worst personal failing. You're not a bad person or like, but wow, man.
Yeah, that can be intoxicating for a lot of people. All of a sudden you're around like the high and mighty, and the, you know, you just want more and more of that. See, like, I belong now. So this is why he keeps doing things like this.
To the point where he has the documentarians in the press release refer to this dynasty as the Brady Belichick Kraft era.
Now that is unbecoming.
Oh my God.
And no one ever talking about sports as a host, a fan in history has ever referred to it as coach, player, owner.
We don't talk
player, like coach, that. Owner. No one talks like that.
No, sir. Nor should you.
I mean, who owned the Yankees when it was Ruth Gehrig? Ruth and Gehrig and like Murderer's Row. Like, that's how those Yankees teams were talked about. Whoever, Ruth Gehrig, you know, Skippy Magoo, who owned the Yankees in the 20s. Like, it's, no one talks about it like that.
I always think of it in these, like, I think of it in these terms, and just work with me.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the star of The Godfather?
The star of The Godfather is Marlon Brando.
Who directed it?
Scorsese.
No, Ford Coppola.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, and who is the production company?
Paramount?
I couldn't tell you that.
Exactly!
Yeah.
Exactly!
Fox?
Because it was Paramount. Marie got it right. But the point is, nobody gives a rat's ass. Because you're interested in the stars. The person who's watching is interested in the actual participants.
The artists.
Right. Right. Nobody knows it's Paramount. Who gives a rat's ass?
It's no longer the Brady Belichick era, folks. Belichick, Brady, Kraft. Pockets and Lemon Sir. Go ahead, Pockets.
Hey, yeah, quick thing on Krejci. He's got to clear waivers, right?
Yep.
Now, anybody that picks him, does he have to go, or can he say, no, I ain't going to you? So everybody's going to pass on him, and he goes to the Bruins by default?
You know, Pockets, I don't know. I meant to look that up, actually.
If someone does take him, can the Bruins then trade for him?
Yes.
Okay,
with
so
what?
Someone did
claim. Yeah, right. They got to have something that someone else wants. You know, the way it was reported is that he's not going to pass through waivers. I mean, someone's going to take him. All right. So someone claims him. Let's say he doesn't want to go there. He says, I'm not going to Vancouver. I'm not going to do that. Vancouver, I'm out. I'm going back to Czech Republic. So then Vancouver only has one recourse, which is then to trade him to you for something or withdraw the claim. So could Krejci actually engineer his way back to the Bruins? I don't know.
I mean, he probably could. Yeah, he probably could. But again, it would require a lot of people's cooperation.
I don't think he's the biggest need. I think what they did with Hall out there on the second line with Hall and Pastrnak is good. It's not elite. It's not through the roof. But, like, that's good. And Coyle projects much better on the third line. I'd much rather get a D. I'd rather get a D-man or two of them, frankly, before I get another center.
Is there a buyout market in the NHL?
Oh, God. Max in the truck. You buying on the Celts?
Hey, what's up, guys? So I'm buying in on the Celtics team. They have been playing outstanding basketball. I think it's Kendrick Perkins calling them out, and I think Udoka met with them and, you know, sat them down and was like, you know what? One of you guys is going to chip out of here if you don't get your act together. Also, Philly, I think, is a lot worse with that James Harden trade. I think they were a lot better with what they had before. Thanks for taking my call.
Well, they might end up being their ceilings higher now.
Let's just see. Like, let Harden actually play with Embiid first before we start making those declarations.
But wouldn't we agree their ceiling is higher? They just added an MVP.
Yes.
So if Harden plays right, and it's a big F, I know that. But if he plays the way he's capable, and their ceiling is higher with James Harden. Don't be stupid.
Yeah, it is, for sure. I still question whether Harden can function in any environment where he's got a share.
As you should. As you should.
Everywhere he's gone, it's been the same problem.
And in a real-ass sports market like Philly? Like, he's never really had to deal with that before.
No,
like, how people are going to talk about him day-to-day,
no doubt about
hour
it.
After hour.
You know, my line last night was like, you know, it's reported that Ben Simmons, in his introductory press conference with Brooklyn, said that playing in Philadelphia contributed to his mental health issues. To which I say, not the first guy to say that.
No, yeah. No.
Like, I mean, that, right. You know, that's not a place to be if you're fragile in any way, shape, or form. And I don't know. I would not consider James Harden some sort of rock. So, yeah, let's see what Philly does to him.
No, Philadelphia comes with a warning from the Surgeon General.
Seriously. Hector and Easton on Jason Tatum. Go ahead, Hector.
Yeah, I think it was the Denver game, maybe the second half. There was a loose ball, and Tatum actually dove and saved it. And it was the first time since he's been here that I actually felt like he's a Celtic, and I can love him. And it felt like I love the Celtics. I couldn't believe he dove for that ball.
Okay, and Maz mentioned earlier, there was a block earlier in the game last night, too, that sort of...
Loud.
Like,
it was right at the rim.
Aggressive.
You know, it was, and he swatted it right out of there. I think he got possession of the ball, too, if I remember right. And so, I just... The other thing that's you know, they're self-correcting now. So, like, they get behind, you know, they fall asleep for a little while, but then they snap out of it and go on a run. Like,
look at that third quarter against Atlanta on Sunday.
Exactly. And the same thing happened with Denver. They, you know, they kind of dinked around with Denver for a little while and then put the pedal to the metal and, you know, and took the lead and took control of the game. So they're self-correcting, which is a big thing.
Dean's in Shrewsbury. What do you think of the Celts, Dean?
I think they still need a 3-and-D wing to be the title favorites, just somebody to put in the rotation. Once you get into the playoffs, the two biggest thing that matters is that your stars play great and that you're one of the top two seeds in the conference. Now, if Jalen or any other wing goes down, we're going to need somebody to fill in that space. So I'm hoping they get Gary Harris on the buyout market.
There we go, the buyout market.
Yeah, that's going to be the cure-all for everything.
Yeah, I like Gary Harris. Jimmy, that's the guy that was with Denver, right?
Or is he still? I love Gary Harris, but he's not the same player he was in Denver.
I mean, if they had Richardson.
Right.
Like,
right.
If they had Richardson and White, you would look at them and go, ooh, I don't want to play them. Like, there's a lot of firepower there potentially coming off the bench, like... But that's the piece they're missing.
Okay, one final segment of your wonderful phone calls. We'll rifle through them. There's an open line if you want to grab it at 617-779-0985. First, an update from Big Jim Murray.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Oh, he is a manipulative weasel.
And Matt.
He does himself no service by actually talking.
You've got to listen to Believe.
It's about me.
Yes, absolutely.
It's about me.
No question.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Back to your phones. Full board as usual. Whip through these calls till we get to the final word. Tom and Quincy on what was supposed to be pitchers and catchers yesterday, Monday. They were supposed to be into the pitchers and catchers portion of spring training, and they're nowhere near it because of the lockout. What are your thoughts on that, Tommy?
Yeah, guys, I'm a little bit more than annoyed. Pitchers and catchers report yesterday, and the only story I can find about baseball is what McAdam wrote on Boston Sports about who Nesson's trying to get in to fill in to do the play-by-play. Euculus and Middlebrooks. Fine. I think Middlebrooks would actually be pretty good because I follow him on Twitter and he's pretty good. But I'm telling you this much. Between the end of the football season and having no idea when you guys talk about the buyout market, I need baseball in some way, shape, or form. And the fact of the matter is that there's no progress whatsoever between the owners and the players. And the fact they met Saturday, and as long as they could sit together, was an effing hour. An hour. When I went into it with, like, total optimism, like, God, they're going to figure this out. They're going to start stuff on time. Opening day is March 31st. Mavs, how the hell are they going to get to opening day March 31st if they can't even sit in a room for more than one effing hour?
It's a great question. Yeah, it's a great question. He's right. I told you that, you know, they've had a couple of sessions that have been less, antagonistic. Okay, so, but they're not making much progress. They're literally moving in inches when they are miles apart.
Just when the sport was finally regaining some traction at the end of last year, and the Red Sox specifically.
Yes, at least here, right? So again, this is a killer. I forgot, too, when you asked me earlier who the rotation is, and this is what happens. You're out of sight, out of mind.
But I was going to say, if they were reporting, if you know, we'd get to do at least one little segment, pitchers and catchers report. Give me the rotation again.
Okay, so I said to you, Sale, and then I said Eovaldi.
Eovaldi.
And then I said Houck, Whitlock, and who knows? Okay, there was someone. Oh, Waka.
Yes,
because they said I forgot. I forgot completely about Nick Pivetta,
who's good.
Yeah, had a good year last year.
Was good, yeah.
Right, and they signed Rich Hill at the beginning of December. So I again, but out of sight.
Who remembers any of this?
Out of sight, out of mind. It completely escapes your mind. You don't even think about it. And this is what they did, because the Red Sox ended well overall. They had a good year. Gone. Gone. Not even on anybody's mind, because they're just not. There's no baseball.
0.0. Connor is in Pawtucket. Go ahead, Connor.
Hey guys, thanks for having me on. Listen, I heard you guys talking about Krejci, and I think the Bees should, if he decides to come back to the NHL, I hope they do whatever they can to get him back, because that's the only time it seems like Taylor Hall was the only time it seemed like he played well. I mean, he just seems lost out there right now. Even even without the stars out there. Last night was his opportunity. He still did nothing. I would hope Krejci come back because I want to see Taylor Hall get better.
Okay,
what you guys think.
Connor, there was a stretch after they made that line change where he and Pastrnak were going really good on that second line. So maybe it's changed now since they have no first line. They're getting first D pair matchups and those sort of things. And so they're not getting as much room on the ice. But I disagree. When they came out of that Christmas break and they first moved Pastrnak down with Hall and Halla, Hall was putting up points. They were assists mostly, but he was putting up points. He was setting up Pastrnak. Like, that was the pairing.
He's a good playmaker, though.
He is. Absolutely is.
You know, in fact, you could argue, really, that might be the strength of his game.
Definitely is.
You know, so, look, I get frustrated with him because he's a good enough talent to be a guy who can beat first D pairs. Like, and go against checking lines. He should be that kind of player, and he's not.
617-779-0985. Cam in Taunton. Yes, Cam.
Guys, with this Kraft story, I can't say I'm surprised. But, I mean, look, like you guys have said, he's been a tremendous owner. Put him in the Hall of Fame, everything. He's the greatest owner in the history of Boston sports, maybe in the history of football. But, my God, this guy, he's always front and center to take the credit. You notice that last year after he spends all that money in free agency, he's more willing to do that press conference and tell about all the money we spent. Let me ask you guys this. It's been almost 2 years now. It'll be 2 years a month from tomorrow since Brady's departure. Has he taken a single on-the-record question about what went into that? Has he taken a single question about what happened between that Titans game and when Brady said, guys, thanks for everything, but I'm on my way out? I don't think he has. I do know this. When Stephen A. Smith said, well, the Patriots didn't want to sign him, Kraft dropped everything to call him and say, no, Tom made the decision on his own. Like, why is he so obsessed with this stuff?
It's annoying. It's a bad look.
He doesn't want to be looked at as the guy that let him walk.
It's off-putting.
That's why he called Stephen A. Smith in a huff. No. That was Tom's decision. I had nothing to do with that.
But Kraft has spoken about it enough for us to know that when Brady was coming over to his house that night, Kraft thought it was to sign another contract like they usually do. So Kraft must have said that somewhere at some point on the record because it's so well known and widely reported. But you're right. I mean, I think the Krafts have gone radio silent for the last 2 years for the most part. I mean, it's been a long time since Jonathan used to do the pregame thing here with us.
Mm-hmm. Years.
Which I thought was a really good spot.
Yeah.
I thought there was always something to glean out of that, which is maybe what he didn't like about it. But I thought he carried himself well in that, and there was usually information for us and the fans. And I don't know. I feel like I hear from these guys on anything hardly anymore. Unless Robert is doing some sort of pre-produced puff, spotlight thing, like, look at me. But no sort of honest back and forth with him. You don't get that anymore.
No, or going on the CBS morning show or something.
Yeah, which I don't consider an honest back and forth.
Correct.
It's more like another Orchids of Asia session on that thing. Stephen Lynn. Go ahead, Steve.
Worse.
Steve, you're up next on Felger and Maz. Okay, babe.
Yeah, a couple things.
Go ahead.
With Kraft, I think it's still the day spa redemption effort. And, you know, on the Celtics, let me say, I've been in this town just recently for 6 months, and we were on a roll, 10 games winning or 4 games winning. We had a winning streak, and everyone said that this team's going to the playoffs and it's going to win the Super Bowl. Are we a little bit quick to start biting on the championship caliber Celtics?
Yes, maybe, yes. I think the Celtics have
more talent.
Yeah, more of a chance than the Patriots did.
Me too.
I mean, in the middle of that Patriots thing, I was all in too. So, fair enough, caller.
The East also, yeah, I mean, the AFC, rather, felt pretty weak too. But the East overall is definitely down. And given the talent, yeah, the Celtics legitimately could go on a deep run.
But it's true. I'm guilty as charged. I bought into the Patriots. I'm buying into the Celtics. Maybe I'll be wrong on both.
Yeah, but I would also tell you, I'm not sitting here telling you I think the Celtics are going to win the championship. What I'm telling you is that I think they can make some noise. And if I were a good team in the East, I wouldn't want to play them.
I said the exact same thing about the Patriots at one juncture there. I don't expect them to lose to anyone other than maybe Kansas City. In Kansas City, they're going to be right there. It's exactly how I felt. It's exactly how I feel about the Celtics.
That one went poof.
No, it sure did.
That caller should tune into Jones because I think he thinks this is all a crock. He thinks they're peaking too early and this is all fool's gold.
Okay.
They're winning by too much.
Yeah.
What was the first thing that he said? He had one thing I could barely hear and now I can't remember what it was. I was going to weigh in on it. Can never remember the two thing. Andy in Boylston. Hi, Andy.
Hey, guys, about the Celtics game last night, how different do you think the execution would have been on the offensive side and the defensive side if Rob Williams hadn't played?
Better.
I suppose better, but how could it be better than a 50-point win?
Well, so, I mean, I think they are a better team when he's out there. You got a lot of tice last night. Like, with all due respect.
You say it with a look on your face.
Because, look, say what we want about Robert Williams, and the availability thing is legit. I mean, he's been out there for the most part this year. But he does impact the game at both ends in ways that are necessary for them. On the offensive end, he never shoots, which is exactly what they need. They need someone who will dunk and pass, which is what he does. And then on the defensive end, he alters shots at the rims, and he gets a truckload of rebounds now. So I think he's become an important piece for them.
Tony is in Rhode Island. Hi, Tony.
Hey, guys. I just got a question. Do you guys believe that the Patriots would have drafted Brady if Robert Kraft didn't stick to his guns and hire Bill Belichick when everybody was telling him not to?
No way to know. I think the odds would have been the same. I think Brady was a one in a million, whether Kraft, Bill, whatever. Like, there were a lot of teams that had Brady on their board down there, just like the Patriots had Tim Rattay on their board, and they were all sort of – so there was a little – there was just a little scrum of quarterbacks down at that part of the draft. There was a little scrum of teams that was looking to draft a quarterback, put it in the popcorn popper, and you just as easily could have ended up with Tim Rattay, and the Niners could have gotten Tom Brady and whatever. And I don't think it matters whether Bill was here or Robert hired Bill or anything like that. I think it was a random course of events.
He was a lottery ticket. Okay, he was literally like a scratch ticket sitting in the parking lot that someone forgot to scratch.
And by the way, the Patriots did like him. Dick Raybine did go scout him. Dick Raybine, the old quarterback coach, did, you know, go to bat for him. Bill did like him enough to pick him over Tim Rattay. I'm not telling you like it's like a zero credit, but if Brady had an advocate in the draft room, so did Tim Rattay. And so did, who is it?
Gio Carmazzi.
Carmazzi. Like, there was a couple of guys down there, right? There were three or four quarterbacks down there. And so I'm sure there was a scout that went to bat for Carmazzi. I'm sure there was a scout that went to bat for Rattay. And there was a scout that went to bat for Brady. And Bill looked at it and went, oh, I take the Michigan kid. Let's go. It was the end of the sixth round. So he picked the right guy, obviously. But I don't think that had anything to do with Kraft. I don't think that had anything to do with Kraft or Bill, is what I'm trying to tell you.
I'm not giving him credit for it.
And when Bill releases that statement last week and says, I'm privileged to have drafted Tom Brady.
Oh, please.
It's gross. It's freaking gross. He also drafted Dave Nugent 20 spots ahead of him, or whatever it was.
Ted.
Yeah. I mean,
I give him credit for developing Brady.
Fine, that too.
That one I'll give him.
Absolutely, I will.
The draft pick, no shot.
No way. Nor Kraft, neither of them. We've got Jim in the car on the Super Bowl. Hi, Jim.
Hello. I don't want you got a chance to watch you guys for 4 hours a day. I'm retired, but I got better things to do than that. But the one that, so maybe this was brought up, I thought, like, the thing that cost the Bengals the game was when they went fourth and one, they should have punted the ball, and maybe they never would have got the other team never scored on that play.
You're talking on the first series or the last series?
No, the first series.
Now I'm with you. I hated that one, Jim. I'm going to cut you off. I hated it. Hated it. Hated it. Hated it. As soon as that happened, like, oh, these freaking dorks.
That felt like a decision in a Week 7 game. You realize you're playing in the Super Bowl, stupid?
I liked it.
These nerds, Maz, I'm so disappointed in you.
I liked it.
It was purely analytic-driven. Purely analytic-driven.
I liked to get in front of that team, get in front of the Rams.
You didn't need to get in front of the Rams, as was proven. They fell behind, and they still were winning late in the fourth quarter.
I thought they could have picked it up, too. I mean, I thought it was doable. You know, you get a good quarterback, you get some options to throw to, like, you'll get that.
Horrible.
Get it.
Let the game play out. See what kind of game it is. Do you need it? Do you not need it? How are the Rams going to play this game? Are they ready for the moment? You had no idea it was their first series. Oh, I was so glad they didn't get it.
It was the possession at the end of the game I hated more.
Yeah, we've got Jack in Brighton. Hi, Jack.
What's going on, guys? Calling in about the Celtics. I think this win streak that they're on is unsustainable. I think they're going to have to blow up the team eventually at the end of the season if they can't do anything this year. I think Tatum and Brown, they can't play together, and I think they've peaked too early.
Okay, I think you just called too early. Jones comes in 12 minutes. I think you got the wrong show.
Jones is in the green room saying, yep, nodding. Yeah,
he that's... meant to call it 6:08.
Yeah.
Tommy and Lynn, go.
All right, what's up, boys? This is what I got to say. The Bruins, I was watching the game last night. There's something that they're lacking up on, and they're lacking up on toughness. They need toughness. Who would you guys rather have them go after? I want to hear you guys' input, so I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, I don't know the tough guys across the league. There are no tough guys. I think they're lacking in talent more than toughness. But both, actually.
So I could, it wouldn't kill me if they were to go out and get a left shot defenseman who could move people in front of the net.
Yes.
Size defensively.
So, I was going to say, this is a big ask at this stage. But, go find the next Seidenberg. We didn't know what Seidenberg was when they got him the first time.
True that. Danny,
go get the next one.
Dan in the car, quickly.
Hey, guys. First time caller. Long time listener. So Robert Williams, I just wanted to touch base on him. Seems like he's really gassed, even in the first quarter, running up and down the court. Take a look at that, because he looks like he is gassed.
Okay, you want someone I'm not sold on? It's Robert Williams. You missed last night's game.
It's always something, foot, hip, something.
He's out tonight.
Oh, that's official, too?
There you go. I mean, not that they need him, but that's a guy you say to me, Where do you have reservations? I still have reservations on him.
Well, so, Smart went down last night. One of the first things I thought of was, well, here we go. Now it's going to come apart again because they can never put all five guys on the floor.
That injury couldn't have come at a better time, though, because of the All-Star break and whatnot. I mean, if it's not deeper into the season, getting ready for the playoffs.
I don't worry about Smart's health. He'll be back. He's fine. I just feel that. He stayed in to take the free throw, ran off the floor, walked off the floor on his own. I think he'll be fine.
No, Robert Williams is a wild card.
Williams is my guy.
And when you say, where do you have reservations for Williams and the Celtics? The Seaport.
Ah, waka waka. Final word comes your way next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
All right, a couple of quick pieces of sound to get to wrap up the day. First, the call of the day, which came from a brand new female listener, which we're always thankful for.
Michelle and Beverly. Go ahead, Michelle.
Brady is going to go to Miami, and I think Steve Belichick should be a greeter at Walmart.
And that's it?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, fair enough.
In, out, good phone, good takes. Yep. I like it.
Belichick would really do wonders for the business of Walmart.
Welcome to the store.
She said Steve Belichick.
Steve, yeah.
But that's how Steve sounds. That, no, yeah. Steve sounds just like the dad.
Well, so that's true. Yeah.
Belichick, as usual, I wasn't fully paying attention. The business of Walmart. Welcome to the store.
If you're looking for the PlayStation 5s, we don't have them in stock.
And it wouldn't be a Felger and Maz show without one of us butchering a player's name, which happened again today.
Like it's a joke. Trent Frederick and... why am I forgetting Foligno's first name now all of
Mike.
A sudden? Mike. You know,
Nick.
Nick.
Nick Foligno...
Mike Foligno.
Why does Dad Foligno's first right? name
now all of Mike. A sudden? Mike. Mike, you know.
Nick.
Nick.
Nick Foligno. You could have said Ralph. And we'd be like, yeah, Ralph.
Yeah, Ralph Foligno.
You could have said anything there.
No, but I sounded like I knew it.
Why am I forgetting Foligno's first name now all of
Mike.
A sudden?
Mike. You know,
Nick.
Nick.
Nick Foligno.
Just desperately grabbing at names in the air.
Just keep guessing. You get it right sooner or later. It's only so many choices there.
Bobbing for names there. Whatever we came up with.
Mike.
Mike. You know,
Nick.
Nick.
Nick Foligno. Bunch of freaking clowns.
Seriously, though. I mean, yeah, no. No, it's embarrassing. Idiot Central. Absolutely.
All right. Speaking of which, here comes Jones. It's not going to get any better. Celtics early tonight, right? 7?
They are at 7:30,
I believe.
Yeah. Oh, please. Really? 7:30?
You got to wait a little longer for that.
All right. Either way, here comes Jones. You get a full hour. Now you get, yeah, full hour of Jones. So we're going to leave now, and we'll see you tomorrow at 2 p.m.
See
you. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.